City Council regular session Wednesday, January 10th, 2018, at 6:01 p.m. Establish a quorum. Start down here, Craig.
Craig's here.
Don Greiner, present.
Steve Martinez, present.
Connie Graves, present.
And establish mayor present. We have a quorum. Pledge of allegiance.
Mrs. Fleming.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, added agenda items. We do have a couple tonight. First one, we got a, at every meeting the first of the year, we got a vote on council president and also what committees everybody's going to serve on. I think you got one, Corey?
Yeah, we, for the SLED board, there's discussion on a request from the city for some industrial land from the county. And we'll talk about details during the agenda item.
Anybody have any objections, council? Okay, good, okay. Public comments. Anybody out there want to say anything at this time? None. Okay, moving right ahead. Consent agenda. Everybody's read it. Approval of minutes, reimbursements, financial reports. If everybody, anybody has any objections? Any problems with it? If not, I need a motion to pass it.
How about we accept consent agenda?
A second?
A second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed? Consent agenda passed. Introduction of Planning and Community Development Director Melissa Bethel.
We're excited to have Melissa here as the city's new and first ever Planning and Community Development Director. We obviously, all of you are aware, we put out, actually going back about a year, this time last year, we recognized that development in the city was trending upward and that we needed more staff capacity in regards to long-range planning, assistance with grant management, managing code enforcement, kind of that whole suite of items that really fall under the bucket of community development. And so we talked about that, we put it in the budget, we had a strategy of hiring and getting someone on board in the winter and having there be a nice transition with Tammy Wisco, our planning consultant right now. And yeah, Melissa started last Tuesday and I don't know, from my perspective, so far so good. There's a lot to learn and we've been getting her up to speed on all the projects we have in motion and then a lot of opportunities as well. So, you have anything you want to say, Melissa?
Yeah.
Thank you for the warm welcome. I have been greeted with nothing but kindness, so that's good. I know that's not always true in the community development field, so thank you. I've met most of you now, so that's been great, and I've seen more than one time, so the mayor's already roped me into a volunteer job, so I think I'm fitting in, and I think I'm getting my bearings. You have a lot going on in Alpine. I am excited to be here. It's exciting times, very busy. I think I'm making Corey's head swim as much as he's making mine, so we're doing good. So thank you, appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, glad to have you aboard.
And stay tuned, even some of the things that we've talked about are, you know, first of all, holding even planning commission meetings more regularly, making sure that we're sharing even basic statistics in terms of development applications, mm-hmm. building permits, keeping planning commission council and others informed on some of that stuff, because that really does, it helps keep a pulse on what's happening, and that's really critical. So we'll find ways like that to kind of up the level of communication and engagement as well, and don't hesitate to reach out to us with questions.
That sounds great. I think we've been trying to go in that direction, so we're there. And that'll free up a lot of your time too, Corey, I know, so that'll be great.
It will, yeah. I don't need to make a joke, but I will. Why not? It's gonna be a quick meeting, so I'll take 2 more minutes. No, I'm kidding. No, it will. It'll be really nice. And it'll honestly, too, from the perspective of public service and us working with developers and providing that response and helping facilitate planning. You know, we've already heard good things about from certain developers that it's nice to work with the city of Lapine. This is gonna even take it up a notch, so we're really excited.
Okay, the next item, number 8, that goes along with what we're just talking about, staff report on second extension agreement with Retina Consult.
Yeah, so this is, that's the Tammy Wisco's consulting company's name. And as I outlined in the staff report, the way the contract was originally set up is it had 2 mechanisms for 1-year extensions. And we exercised the first extension about a year ago for all of 2017. And to operate within that same original agreement, we can extend the second extension for this year, for all of 2018. And originally, when we've been talking through, when I've been talking with Tammy and thinking and talking with council about this transition, we had sort of in mind, you know, 6 months. In my mind, most of the transition is gonna take place probably over the first few months. And then I don't see how there's any harm in keeping that arrangement with Tammy very clearly, though, on an on-call basis, where in theory, we can still have a contract with her, but if we don't pick up the phone or call or use any of her time, there's no billable hours. We don't pay her anything. So in my mind, definitely for the first 6 months and then just even extending it all the way through 2018 really provides that level of expertise that she's picked up over the last almost few years and allows myself and Melissa and the city the opportunity to pick up the phone and call and get her perspective and really make that transition as valuable as possible, with the explicit understanding that the time and billable hours are gonna go way, way down. So that's kind of the gist of the staff report and the thought process on extending that for an additional year.
Okay, guys, any comments from council, Connie, sir?
As long as there's no monthly minimum, I don't see a problem with keeping her on for a year. I think she's been a great resource and she will continue to be, so.
Yeah, no monthly minimum, and we've, we're her and the city are on the same page as to the expectation of how that will work.
So,
that's just an extra added layer of checks and balances, I think, is a good idea in the transition that we'll be going through. And with as busy as I think it's going to be, there'll definitely be an added safety check valve for you folks. So I think it's a good idea.
Okay, Mr. Greger?
I'm wondering how much we're going to budget for that for next year. We're budgeting a salary, plus we need to budget for this too, right?
So for the next 6 months and the rest of this fiscal year until June 30th, we do have some dollars set aside for that. We will have to, during the budget process in April and into the budget meetings in May, be aware of that and set some money aside. I think that by the time April and May roll around, we'll have a pretty good sense of how much time we expect. And I would assume that the amount we budget for that first half of fiscal year 18-19, you know, it could be as little as a few thousand dollars or less. I mean, it really would be small. The large bills that we've seen, and I know you've seen, Donna, because you signed the checks, from her over the last 6 months has been the reality of her almost working a full-time job in the city. So that will go way down. But yes, we need to be aware of budgeting to keep her on call.
Well, I think it's necessary to have it, but I don't want us to overspend on it either. You understand what I'm saying? I want you to be able to use it if you need it. But by the same token, I like to hold it down.
We can do that.
Great.
No comments.
Okay, I'll just say the exact same thing. She's needed. She's done a great job for us. Melissa can learn a lot. She's got to have somebody here ask questions to, just like you, Corey, or anybody. You got to have a backup. So I think that's great. As long as we can keep it under control. Okay, I think we'll probably need a motion on this to accept.
I move we accept the contract, the extension of the contract.
Okay.
A second.
First and second, and all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, pass unanimously. Okay, we'll continue seeing Tammy, which is good. Bring that issue. Okay, that's, well, we're moving ahead here. Number nine, the ODOT report on the speed zone. We had pictures and everything. We put a lot of time and effort into this one. Looks like it came out the way we had anticipated. So what you got to add on this, Corey? I think we're...
Not too much. We got this, the final version. It still says December 14th on the front, but we didn't get it December 14th. We got it after that. And decided to include it in the agenda because I think it's a good reminder that we are working with ODOT, and I think it's fair to say continuing to apply a healthy measure of pressure on ODOT to not forget about the Wickia Junction area post-overpass, you know, the reality of that situation. So we requested, this was back, I mean, it details it in the cover letter, but essentially we talked about this, that we requested ODOT to look at the speed zone south of Burgess Road, so heading northbound as you approach that Burgess intersection, Wickia Junction, and then the northern city limit as you are heading southbound and you enter the city of Lapine. And so through the data collection and through conversations with staff and with council, we talked about this at a work session, I think in maybe the end of November. It's been a few month process for them to formalize this. And this is ultimately the final report. They sent this to us for our blessing, and I told them that I wanted to share it with council, and that if council saw fit to approve it, that we would, I'd email them in the morning, and then they'd need to send it to the state for even another layer of approval, and then they could move forward with implementing the changes.
Okay, I didn't see anything on here, though. They were gonna add a speed flashing sign. That's just a separate entity.
That's a good question.
Wasn't that included in the, when they're doing the bid for March for the whole, okay. I think that was included in that one.
Did Mike Darling talk to him about
that? Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about it. I just haven't ever seen anything.
Hasn't happened yet. We're waiting for a flashing speed driver feedback sign. We talked with them and they ordered it for one to be put up out here as well. So we can check in with them and get a clearer sense on the dates. I think this was really for the, for lack of a better way to put it, just the policy of the speed. And then whether it's a fixed sign or a feedback sign, those are kind of the side conversations that we've been keeping in touch with them on in terms of, is it included in the tail end of the overpass project, or it sounds like what Mike said was with the bid of the new project. Am I talking too loud?
No, overpass.
Oh, I'm sorry. You stop saying
okay, that. Okay, council, have any,
more, don't talk about
council
it.
Council, have anything, comments on this?
No, I'm just glad to see that it's being done.
Yeah.
Just for public FYI,
thank you.
A lot of people come to the city wanting speed limits changed. The city has no control over the speed limits. It's all the Oregon Department of Transportation. So in our working with them, this is how the process works. So I just, you know, FYI for everybody, it's not up to the city council to determine speed limits. It's the Oregon Department of Transportation. I'm happy with it. I think they did a good background check on it and everything, and we need to move forward.
Don?
Well, I know that they did drop the speed limits down, and but all you have to do is walk outside and watch the cars go by, and you know they're going over the speed limit right now, and I think it'll still remain the same when they're done, except that it'll probably drop down 5 miles an hour, because normally it's at least 5 miles an hour over the speed limit that they're driving. But yes, I think we ought to go ahead with it for, tell them thank you.
Yeah, I'm in favor of the new speed limit, having a little bit of experience trying to get out of Burgess onto Route 97. It's pretty interesting there. I've almost come run over some logging trucks. Vehicles don't slow down there. Hopefully, maybe a little more enforcement besides a 45 mile an hour speed limit would help.
So would we send this, or are you done? I'm sorry, I'm done. I thought that maybe I cut you off. Before we can make this really public, though, we'd have to have a continued more okay on this from, or is this the final draft? Or
this is the final draft of the report. So the region, having put this together, is going to send it to the state. I think there actually is a speed review board, and they're going to make sure that the methodology and the process that is actually outlined in Oregon statute to go through, it was followed appropriately and within the metrics. I mean, you can only change the speed limit within, they have to go measure the 85th percentile, and then they can only change the speed limit within 5 miles an hour of that. So even if we said, hey, we want it to be 30 miles an hour, they'd say, you can't do that. Because, and that's kind of a catch-22, because people are driving fast, which means you can't lower the speed limit because it's within a certain data point. It's kind of an interesting system, but hopefully this will be the beginning of ratcheting it down as we spend more time and energy in that area over the coming years.
Okay, as far as making it public, though, we ought to wait, I mean, officially.
I think that, yeah. I mean, you could mention that we're pursuing this, and then I think probably the ultimate public unveiling would be, you know, the new signs and people actually seeing it.
Yeah. Okay, well, this is a public meeting, so,
true. Yes.
You know, let me just give you a hint what it is. It's north of Drafter, and they got 100 feet north of Drafter, 65 to 55. Then 50 feet north of Drafter, 65 to 50. And then the main part, Drafter, south, 50 feet north of Drafter Road, 0.17 miles south of Drafter Road, 55 to 50, and then 0.17 miles south of Drafter Road to 3.9 miles south of Burgess, that's the 45. And they put a lot of study in this. They didn't get all the accident reports and everything, so it's, they're pretty thorough.
So since it's a public meeting, it's public record, you can ask for a copy of it at the front counter.
Right.
So in the future, if we wanted it to be lowered more than the 85th percentile of what they're going, we'd have to make sure there was really strong patrols when they were doing their testing to see what the cars were.
Work the data a little, yeah. And then if the speeds are, you know, come that 85th percentile goes down, then you can ratchet it a little lower. This is a small but good step in the right direction. Did any of you see the big semi that flipped over in front of S&S Auto? The business property owner there sent out an email to folks. It almost hit one of our fire hydrants, and so he kind of sent out an update on that. And I responded and said, hey, we're really working on that region, that area. We're going to be starting a refinement planning process. And him and I are going to have lunch next week, and we're going to kind of let him know. And I know he has a strong connection with some of the business owners and property owners up there. So Melissa and I are going to kind of ramp up that process. It's 6 months from now, but we want to let them know that that's coming.
Well, and I talked to Lieutenant DeLuca, and he's actually excited that it's lowered to 45. Because now they can do a little bit more enforcement on it. Because coming through there at 55 or 60, which they can't write a ticket now, that's fast. Yeah. So that's a good thing on their part. Okay, I guess we need a motion to accept this. On the back here, Corey, they said, if you concur, please know your concurrence on the attached report. I don't see any.
I spoke with, where's his name at? Well, his name's actually not, it wasn't even David Hirsch, it was a different gentleman from ODOT that emailed, and basically they need me to email back and let them know that we approve it as.
Do I have a motion to approve this ODOT speed change?
So moved.
Second.
First and second, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay, that's a good happening.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going on to item number 10, update on low income assistance program. I think that's you.
It is, that's me. I get to talk.
Yeah.
Yes, we talked about this, oh, it's been 6 months to a year ago, and a lot of it came, we decided we were going to expand our system into new areas that were going to take in more customers that would be on.
Let's tell them what the whole thing is. It's water, sewer bills.
Yeah, water, sewer, utility bills. For the current customers and the potential customers that are coming onto our systems to help with assistance to pay those bills. We try to prevent them to get on the delinquent notice that they get, or, you know, keep them from being delinquent on their utilities, and to assist some of the public out there, because we have a pretty good percentage of public out there that falls into the low income standard. So staff, Ashley and I, Holly, we've been looking at this project and come up with some good ideas, looking at other cities and taking some of their ideas and incorporating what would work here. I'll show you some of the standards that we're going to set. I'm going to keep this pretty high level. We've got some really good numbers for the program, but I think it's something we should digest in a work session meeting and talk about, you know, projected revenue losses for how we would institute the program. I think tonight we'll keep it pretty high level. Some of the standards we're going to set for this project, I'll show you. It'd be open to both tenants and homeowners. There'd be separate applications for both. We'll need to be renewed annually. It'd be something they do annually, not just a one-time basis. Customer will need to stay in good utility standing. That means they can't be late or omit payments. They have to be good standing. It's based on a percent of the median income. For example, if the median income for Lapine would be $25,000, is your average median income, we would pick a percentage of that. Like, if you fall within 40% of the median income, you would qualify for the program. 40, 50, 60 is what we typically see, and I'll show you that in a work session, the different numbers we ran with those. And we would have a stringent application process, would include submission of tax returns, submission of 6 pay stubs, any other income-related materials. This shows you the median income level for the Lapine area. Now that's going to take in the whole area, correct? I mean, we know the city of Lapine's a fraction of that, but that's the best knowledge we could go with. And it shows, you know, household size of one being 22,000 roughly. And I don't want to get too much into the details. Just know that we've come up with some really good numbers. We're looking at a program that if they fall within 40% of the median income, we'd give them a 25% reduction in their water and sewer utility. Or possibly it'd be 20% or a 15%. We're looking at all those options. We know the first year we institute it, we want to do a pilot program and maybe do a couple of those parameters and see what kind of data we collect from our customers and see what that average income level is of people that are applying, and then adjust that program to accommodate for it, and then really start budgeting for it into the future. So that's what we're gonna see at the work session, some really good numbers. I can show them to you right now, but I don't think we should get to there right now. I think it's just an update on what we're gonna bring forth in the work session. Any questions really quick?
Comments, anybody?
I did. We ran this by the Public Works Committee, and they had some pretty good ideas too with this program that I'm going to talk about in a work session. And one of the other programs we're going to look at doing is a delinquent program. This is to prevent them from being delinquent, but let's face it, we still get delinquent customers out there. And what we've seen with some other cities is they have a fund set aside for delinquent accounts, but they don't administer that fund. They have an agency such as St. Vincent de Paul administer that. The city contributes, let's say, $5,000 for the year. They administer who gets those funds. They come to the city for a voucher saying, yes, I'm a delinquent account. They take that voucher, they go to St. Vincent de Paul, they decide who gets it. Mid-State does something very similar. They have a voucher system that's very similar. We're gonna meet with St. Vincent de Paul next week. We're gonna meet with Mid-State and see how we can, you know, not reinvent the wheel here, but use something similar. So you're gonna see that as well.
When will some of this information be public, someplace, you know, where the residents of Lapine can see it or hear about it?
It'll be public at the work session. We'll have some good hard numbers. It'll be all public information.
I mean, they've been told ever since this project started that we're going to do this.
Yep. When we had these open houses, we talked about providing some utility assistance, low-income utility assistance programs.
Yeah, that was part of accepting everything, because people knew they, if they couldn't pay it, they were gonna get assistance.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm glad we got this started, and we can just, we'll have a lot more questions at the work session, I'm sure.
You bet. Any immediate questions right now, or welcome?
You know, it's a couple, 3 years away, but I'm glad we're upfront on it.
And the, you know, the projected revenue losses are, you know, we average is around $1 million for revenue for water and sewer. We're talking like projected 3 to 6% at most revenue loss to do these kind of programs, so I think it's something we can accomplish.
So, Mayor just stated that it's 3 years away. Are we not planning on implementing the low-income program before?
No, I think it's gonna be implemented before that. I'm gonna guess it's gonna be part of our next year's budget. We're trying to get that rolled out, so we can start budgeting for it.
The existing customers right now.
Yep. By the time we get onto those customers, maybe it's a really, it's a program that's starting to really thrive, and we have a good grasp on it by then.
Okay, good.
But I think you'll see a pilot program this next fiscal year.
That's wonderful. Great. Okay, anything else? Any more questions for him or not? Okay, let's move on to this next one is yours.
Again, all right, I'm talking. Yes, telemetry. You have the staff report, I hope all of you read through it. I'm gonna go through the, and read it real quick, stay on the high-level notes. We have been actively pursuing a telemetry system to better monitor our water and our wastewater systems, and potentially other stuff as well. The definition of telemetry is an automated communications process by which measurements and other data are collected at remote or inaccessible points and transmitted to receiving equipment for monitoring. Historically, the City of Lapine has been taking a reactive approach to monitoring and maintaining vital assets within its wastewater and water systems. For example, when Heat Drive wastewater lift station failed, alarm notifications and system failure notifications can only be monitored physically at that location. The time-lapse delay for notification that resulted from this failure caused serious issues in the wastewater collection system. The first notification came in the form of a phone call from a residence being flooded with sewage. $8,000 was spent to mitigate damages caused by this flooding. Another example of a wastewater lift station failure came in the form of an industrial park lift station. Earlier this winter, we were notified from the Best Western Motel that wastewater was flowing very slowly from their building and backing up in the parking lot. We responded to the issue and noticed that this was more than an isolated issue. It was a bigger problem. The industrial park lift station had blown an electrical fuse, causing one of its pumps to fail, backing the collection line up that serves that area of town. Our first notification came in the form of a phone call again. We had to hire a private contractor for $1,000, for $1,050 to aid us in relieving that lift station and get it back to work in order to prevent damages caused by sewage backing up again. Pump failures and electrical issues will always exist, let's face it. That's just the nature of the beast. But I feel that reactively responding isn't the approach the city should sustain for the future. I've talked about it in presentations before. Our motto is being proactive, putting out fires before they occur, not just putting them out when they happen. A telemetry system allows the city to be proactive with monitoring and communicating with these vital assets in our system. We have performed a month-long demo with the proposed mission equipment. This demo has already prevented an incident from occurring with the First Street main wastewater lift station. The equipment notified the proper personnel and it allowed a proper response time to eliminate any disruptions with the sewer system. We were called out on an alarm, on a high level alarm, and responded in time to prevent from backing up any residences in the area. Not only does this equipment notify us when there are issues, it allows us to collect data hourly on run times, performance parameters, etc. This type of monitoring allows employees to prevent these type of failures from happening in the future. Below is the proposed quote for installation and purchasing of the needed equipment, and I showed the corresponding funds we would pull those costs out of below. Alright, the phone calls I want to receive in the future is from my telemetry equipment, not from customers backing up. That's why we're looking at this.
Okay, Connie.
So I was fortunate enough to be able to tour our wastewater and water systems with Jake yesterday. Was it yesterday?
Yes.
Been a busy couple days. And so I got to hear more about, you know, why it was needed and how it would be used for the system. And so thank you for that. I am curious, is there an annual fee to...
There's a monthly fee for each device. And actually, it's a yearly fee, I'm sorry, for each device, which is broken over monthly. And there is $300-something per device. And that's included in the original quote, and we'll have to pay that for its life. So we're looking at 300 times 6, so $1,800 a year.
And is there like a life expectancy on the telemetry system?
Yeah, there is. I mean, it doesn't last forever, but
sure.
They have a really good program where they'll swap out equipment if it goes bad. And let's face it, you know, in 5 years, there's probably going to be a new piece of equipment that's going to be the new version of that. They'll come in through and let us update to those at basically a wholesale cost if we want to.
So a 5 year?
I'd say 10 to 15 years is what these typically last.
Great, thank you.
Stu? Craig, this time?
I'm in favor of it. I've installed similar equipment elsewhere for Air Products and Chemicals maintained. And the city will, if it doesn't need it now, it will when Cagle and Glenwood are added. There's a lot of cost savings here. I'm totally in favor of it.
Don?
The $1,800 a year that you mentioned, does that include maintenance on it, or is that...
Yes, it does. Yep.
Sounds good to me.
I will add that our current program on monitoring these assets in the field is we do daily rounds. We check on all these assets daily and on the weekend, which we have to pay staff to do that. Doing this telemetry lets us look at this equipment. We don't have to go there every day to do that. But there's still some aspects where we want to go out there and check on the assets physically, but not daily. So we're going to have some savings on that end too.
Okay, I just say we're spending $25 million in updating our whole water and sewer system, so this is nothing. So I think we definitely have to do it. You know, we're updating everything. This is just part of the updating. We need a motion on this one.
I move that we approve the telemetry system as requested by Jake.
I'll second the motion. First and second, and all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Okay. And you're going to just get that fairly immediately.
Pretty quick, yeah. I'm going to text the guys right now and say, hey, we got telemetry. Not yet, but we're good.
Very close. Okay. Additional matters. This is, let me start with the land one.
Yeah, you want to start with the land?
Yeah, let's do at least explain. He's on the sled board. What's happening?
Oh.
The parcel, industrial park parcel.
Okay, that's where we're at.
That's where we're at.
Okay. Well, yesterday, the sled advisory board, the reports to the city council met. We hold our monthly meeting once a month, and the group had been approached by several businesses through our economic development person, Ryan Culp, who sits upstairs, and the inquiries have been whether there are any buildings available for commercial businesses to lease or rent, and the answer is no. Lapine has no building available. So the idea of the city or the county building a building has floated around for the last 15 years. And nothing has been accomplished. So the group came up with the idea of bringing that back to life. And there's a company that has inquired as recently as the day before yesterday, wondering if anything has come up again. And so I think between Corey and Ryan and the county has a piece of property in the light industrial park that would be available. So basically what it comes down to is the SLED board recommends to the council to approach the county and request the county basically sign off a deed of 23.
Yeah, if we assume that we were selling the land for approximately $46,000, the IGA set up between the city and county right now would take that revenue and split it. So the city would get half and the county would get half. So it'd be essentially the county, one way to look at it would be foregoing the revenue they would get if we sold that land.
Right, which would roughly $23,000. So I think what Corey's eventually, when I get done rambling on, is ask for the council's recommendation to go to the county commissioners through the chain of command up the ladder to sign off that piece of property so that the city could venture into an agreement with a contractor to build a building, to lease, to spur development in the industrial park. So I'm gonna be done here.
Corey, fill in the blanks.
No, that's Stu said it well. That's the land is the tip of the iceberg per se. So I'm assuming there's some question marks in terms of industrial land, city enter an agreement, what's going on. Ryan is gonna be coming, he couldn't join us tonight, he's gonna be coming to the work session in 2 weeks and giving a much more detailed overview of how we could structure the deal to get a building built. The first thing we need, no matter the city's role, whether that's building the building and financing it or working with a developer who builds it and then leasing it, again, both with the end of helping a company move here and create products and jobs and investment, is we need the land. So yeah, I think the main point of the SLED meeting yesterday, and also to a degree that time is of the essence, this company is looking to move here this coming summer, which feels a ways away from now, but we know how fast 6 months can go, especially in terms of design of a building and site plan and permitting and all of the elements that go into construction. So Ryan had been, we've been working on this for a couple months, sort of behind the scenes with the SLED board and working that with them as an advisory committee and moving forward. And so then last week, Ryan met with James Lewis, the county property manager. James was at the meeting yesterday. And ultimately, what the SLED board decided, like Stu said, was the council needs to make a request to the county to get the land. And then we can set that process in motion and then figure out the details of how the city's gonna be involved with the construction of the building. I think one element that's really important though is that the county commission is, I think this is going to be somewhat of a letter, I kind of jotted down, it's almost a letter of request and commitment, because they're going to want to know that, hey, we want this land, but we're going to do something with it, and we're going to follow through. Or maybe there's a structure where if it doesn't pan out, they get the land back, who knows, I don't want to go there, but ultimately I think what I'm saying is that there's going to be some big discussion points and details that Ryan and I and all of you are gonna need to sort through in the coming months. But it makes sense to set, from my perspective, from SLED board's perspective, makes sense to set and process the request for the land. And then we can iron out some of those details over the coming months.
Okay, Craig, you have anything to
This is basically only okay for the county to turn over the land to the city right now.
Well, and let me, I could have put something on the overhead, but I didn't use this map. So this is the intersection, First Street Signal, Reed Road. This is Midway. This parcel right here, everything in yellow is owned by Deschutes County and managed by the city through the IGA we've had with them for at least a few years. This parcel on the corner is the parcel we're looking at, partially to be sort of a model industrial building of what we want to see in the future in this business park. And so we have a parcel identified. It's about half an acre. The building we're hoping to get put up is, you know, going to be somewhere around 5,000 square feet, plus or minus. The details that we don't know yet are who's going to build it and how are we going to pay for it. The city's going to have a role in that, and we've been investigating which role sort of makes the most sense to get SLED's opinion and then council's opinion, ultimately, to move forward. And so one of the main things that we've come to, as Stu mentioned, that, you know, this has been a topic of conversation for a long time. I think right now what's driving the conversation is that we have a company that wants to move here and be a tenant and pay a lease rate on a building if we can structure it so that they can move here and their rent want to be here long term. So Ryan's been working with that company.
Okay, but for tonight, all we're doing is requesting from the county for the property. We've got a lot of discussion on building. So as far as the property and stuff like that, any comments? Or
don't know how to phrase it. It's, you know, we need to piece of ground first. But is there a way of backing out? We don't get to ground, or we get to ground and somebody, you know, can't build the building, or we get the building built and nobody wants to move in. There has to be a way of sort of.
But this is free property. We aren't paying anything for it. They're giving it to us.
Well,
I think
some of the conversation yesterday with Mr. Lewis, who's the property manager for Deschutes County, is if we request the county commissioners to sign the deed to the city, then it becomes the city's.
Yes.
In the story, it's our property.
Okay.
So if the deal falls through with the building, the city still has the property.
Then it's just a question of who builds.
Right.
Yep.
And that's a different topic.
That's all a different topic.
Okay. Yep. Gotcha.
We'll be discussing that later. Scott, any comments on it?
My comment is we need the property to put a building on it to attract a business into town as quick as we can get it.
Okay. Stu, anything else?
In the conversation, we were sent an email by Ryan, our economic development person, 2 days ago. There's another company looking for a building. Again, we had nothing. We suggested and recommended Gilcrest. So now because we don't have any buildings, we're sending business nicely to our neighbors to the south. So we're in the now, people. We need something like this. Thank you.
Connie.
Why are you looking at me like that? I mean, the conversation sparks a lot of red flags, definitely. Just a lot of questions, I guess I should say, about what that looks like in the future. Yes, I think economic development line is a must. Yes, I think we need to pay attention to it. Do we want to become developers all of a sudden? I don't know the answers to that. And I definitely would need a lot more detail before I'd say yes to that. Fact that we're just at this point asking for land, you know, I'm assuming you guys made it sound like no strings attached. Corey said we don't know that the way that you're going to write that. So I'm not even sure of what are we asking it regardless of whether or not we build a building, or
That's a good question. I think that it should perhaps, and I want all of your feedback on this, because I thought through it a little bit. I think it's a request for the land to be deeded to the city, so it becomes city property, with the intention, you know, our best efforts to make a building go up on that land in the next, you know, we're going to hope 6 to 9 months, but maybe we'll even say the next 2 years. Because if it doesn't work out in one model, it could work out in a different model. And so I think as long as we tell them, hey, we don't just want the land for no reason, we're going to actively pursue getting a building on that property. And then I don't think they're going to, I would hope they wouldn't spend too much time fixated on if it doesn't pan out, we need a reverter clause so the property comes back to the county. But when James works this through those channels on the county, we'll find out. I think we should just tell them and be candid with what we're trying to accomplish, and we're going to do everything we can, and then we'll see where we're at a year from now.
Let's step back a few months or even years. This is what we've been requesting from the county, is to have more control without having to, you know, buy property from them. So they're carrying through on their end of the bargain. But where the building ends up, I don't know, it could be private contractor, could be a variety of things, but we will have to get into that at a later point.
And in our conversation at the SLED meeting yesterday, Mr. Lewis was asked by a board member if this was a project the county was looking on, would you recommend it to the commissioners? And he said yes. So coming from the property manager of Deschutes County, I think it's a, you know, we pretty much got his nod that yes, this is a good project. And it is, again, just for the property. And as the mayor pointed out, it's what we've been after in cooperation with the county to gain more control of the industrial park property. And this is the beginning.
So at the meeting with the county commissioners, the joint meeting, it was pretty clear that they don't want to necessarily give us something without us taking responsibility for anything. Is there any sort of, has there been any sort of talk about that with this property?
There hasn't been. I think the difference with this, and one of the things that was discussed with Mr. Lewis from the county, and his thoughts were that the county would probably be interested in participating in this project, but they don't want to, they want to donate us the land, and that's the way they participate in the project. Does that make sense? So they don't want to help figure out how the building's going up and how it's financed and all that structure stuff. They want to say, here you go, we're making our $23,000 contribution to the project, you guys go figure it out, and it's in your, you know, you make it work. And it's just with that one half-acre parcel, which there's over 200 acres out there, so that's, you know, 0.5% of.
And the county wants to see this industrial park take off as much as we do. So they're behind their partners.
But sorry, to answer your question more directly, no. There would be no connection with anything else. It would just be for this specific project on this specific parcel.
Okay, I think we ought to have a motion on this to accept to move ahead on the parcel property to shoot?
To send a letter of request to the county.
Do I have a motion on that?
I move we send a letter of request to the county for this piece of property.
I'll second that motion.
First and second, and all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Okay, 3-1 passed.
Just to clarify, the reason I did say nay is because I just don't feel like I know enough.
Okay.
It's, you know, we've had a 15-minute discussion about this. You guys are privy to the SLED board and more background than that, so I just, yep. I kind of feel like it was just kind of
when it comes to a building or anything like that, so. We'll have in-depth discussion.
This is just the property.
Yeah, and just the.
But the property with the expectation that we're gonna do something within 6 to 9 months is what I'm hearing, so it's like.
There is no expectation of that.
So, I don't know, like I said, I just feel like I don't know enough, so.
That's good.
I'll draft a letter, I'll circulate the language in there, and I think it's important to just keep it fairly high level and say that we intend to pursue making a project to get a building built there. I'm not even gonna put a timeframe per se, if they have follow-up questions on that. And then, to backpedal a little bit, because I think it's a good point that you're making, is that the original intent was to, Brian is gonna be here on the 24th, and we had talked internally about planning for that. And I think it was partially that Ryan and some of the select board members who actually know some of the company just through the industry that we're working with, looking at the timeframe, we could have waited until made the land request next month, but then that puts us even farther out. So it wasn't necessarily intended to necessarily be on tonight, but it was the select board said, hey, let's make that recommendation and see if council will go for it, and just a little backstory on that.
That's why it was an added agenda.
Correct.
There you go. And then we've run into things with the, you know, when you have to deal with too many entities, even the county, it takes some time. You know, it could take a month or two to get everything transferred, so that's why we, you know.
I know you guys know a lot more about it than I do, and I don't, so.
No, that's good, that's fine, okay.
And that's why you have a representative bringing the information to you. And so that's.
And ideally, like we've discussed it before, something like this would be discussed at a work session where we can get more informed about it, so.
This was something that the select board thought was priority enough to have it added tonight, so.
Okay, well, we're done with.
Yep.
Well, let's move on to, we have to elect, every year in January, you have to re-elect a council president. Stu's been in for a few years. Any discussion on that? Let's start with you, Connie. Everybody's gonna have a say in this from now on. No more voting, we'll, people talking.
Well, I guess the duties of council president, as I know them, are basically just to take the mayor's place in your absence. I mean, maybe there's a clarification, is there more of a definition to the council president, so we're clear?
That's basically it, it's just, if I keel over, they're the mayor.
Or if you just have to miss a meeting.
Or there's that.
If I miss a meeting. Okay, that's all there.
Right.
Stu?
No, that's basically it.
Greg, anything to say on it?
Not enough experience, I'm gonna wheel my chair backwards. I've seen Don do that once.
From what I've heard, there's a good possibility he might be mayor if some mayor, present mayor, keels over.
You are older than I am.
I have nothing to say. I think pretty much we all know the duties of the council president, and it's just one of the expected, just like a vice president, same thing.
Okay, I need a motion for anybody, whether if they want to make a motion for Stu or somebody else, or whoever they might want to see is.
I move we elect Connie as council president.
Okay, do we have a second? Okay, nothing there. Any more motions? Okay, we gotta get this done. You have anything else to say, Greg?
Does anybody want to step forward?
I wouldn't mind being council president.
Well, and I wouldn't mind continuing.
right, let's go through this again. Do I have a motion for council president? If we deadlock, I don't know about what happens with deadlocks. Okay.
I'll make a motion on that if you'd like.
Make a motion what?
For a council president.
For who?
For Stu, if you'd like.
Oh, well, it's not up to me, it's up to you guys. Okay.
We didn't get a second on Connie, correct?
All right.
Okay, then I move that we elect Stu as council president.
Okay, do I get a second on that one?
I'll second that.
Okay, first and second it. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, you're council president for the next year.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Okay, that changes every year, because the council can change every 2 years, so. Go ahead.
Could I request since we're updating our committees and we just went through this, an update on our term expiration?
Council terms?
Yes.
Yeah, my understanding is that Stu and Craig's term will end December 31st, 2018.
I don't know, that's why I'm asking.
No, that is correct. Sorry, that is correct.
So, my term expires December 31st, 2018.
Less than a year. And just because I wanted to do it for the sake of doing it, section 9 of the city charter, council president, it's two sentences, so bear with me. At its first meeting each year, the council must elect a president from its membership. The president presides in the absence of the mayor and acts as mayor when the mayor is unable to perform duties. So, technical verbiage.
Okay, that over with. We gotta go through these committees. Right now, let's start with who's on it. We gotta have a member, and then we need a alternate. And the alternate shows up and the permanent person can't. Everybody has these pages? Yeah, okay. Let's start with COAC. Right now, I'm the COAC representative. And I don't even know who is the alternate.
I'm the alternate.
You're the alternate, no? Okay. Would anybody else be interested in being the primary representative on this one? Or I'll continue. Okay, I just don't continue on this unless we don't have to go through motions on every one of these.
No,
just agreement.
Yeah, well, yeah, as long as everyone's in agreement, I guess, yeah.
And you don't mind being the alternate?
I can stay as the alternate, nobody else will.
Any objections to this one? Okay, that one's done. The second one is the COIC, and Connie is the representative on this. And she's been doing a great job, and I think Don is the alternate. Does anybody have an objection to just keeping this the way it is?
I'd like to stay if nobody has any objections.
Okay.
There's a lot to the COIC board, and it's a lot. I mean, I feel like I've just spent the last year learning about everything that's going on, and they've had quite a bit of turnover this last year, so I think turning over.
Well, on all of these, it takes about a year to learn what they are. So I recommend we stay the same on that, unless we want to change the alternate somewhat. You good enough on continuing?
Well, I think Connie is excellent.
Yeah, but you want to be the alternate?
Fine, that's what you prefer. That's fine.
Okay, any objections on that, Craig?
No.
Okay, let's stay the same on that. COCO. I'm the representative on that. It's mostly of all the mayors in the Central Oregon, so, and I, again, don't know who the alternate on this one is.
It's on your paper.
I've never had to worry about it because you're always going, so.
All Because I ought to read the full thing. Okay. Can we stay the same on that? Any objections? No? Okay, good.
Mayor and Sue, right?
Yep. The SLED, Sun River Lapine Economic Development. Stu's on that. We need a secondary representative on that. Karen's not here anymore.
And I can tell you, there's a, as we just heard tonight, there's a lot going on. So we do need an alternate badly, just in case.
Okay, we haven't got Craig involved here. Would anybody object to Craig being the alternate on this?
You can't push your chair back on that one.
You don't travel very far for SLED.
The good thing about that, it's always held in Lapine, or most of the time, sometimes.
Yeah, occasionally in Sun River.
Yeah, we do one.
Okay.
Yeah, I have no objection to that.
I'll send you an email for the next meeting, and then you can come in and we'll introduce you to everybody.
Yeah, I need to be brought up to speed.
And just a side note on that one as well, is that it, you know, it is open to the public, so if any council members wanted to attend, listen, and to some degree participate, you know, from an audience perspective, they could do that as well.
Because I do.
It's a lunch meeting.
Yeah.
So the first lunch is on you.
It's on the city.
They take turns.
The members take turns.
Does the city have a credit card I can borrow?
You take care of that.
Don has it right now.
And I just want to point out, the note that Corey made it, all these are open meetings. Anybody can go and see what's going on at any of them. You're just not on the board. That's all I hear. And then there's, usually when you go to them, there's, sometimes there's 15, 20 people there just observing. And they always have a chance to give their comments. Okay, let's move on and leave the Oregon cities. Okay, Don, this is you, and Connie is the secondary. Do you want to continue on that one?
Five was me.
Okay. Connie, you good on that one?
Yeah, I'm good on alternate, or unless that's something that, I mean, I've never gone to one yet. I'd like to go to one sometime, but it's probably a little harder for me to make out of town right now with other commitments, so I don't know that me being the alternate is necessarily the best.
I told Connie that the next meeting, if she was available, that we would go together. So it's up to her if she can get away or not at the daytime. But usually it's on a Friday, and it's a noon luncheon meeting from 11 to 1.
They're not every month.
Quarterly meeting.
Okay.
But the thing is, they're
kind of
a distance.
Yeah.
And it's usually.
That's okay. I was
two and a half hour drive to and from.
Okay, that's fine. I'll stay on that. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, let's go on to the next one. This is a water study group that's been going on for the last couple of years. I've been going to this before I was even mayor. All it is a group of its recommendations to the state on how the water system should be handled in the three county area. It's almost completed, but they're still gonna, and then they're gonna start another another grant mitigation rights and stuff. They're gonna start. So whoever,
I'd almost consider this one whoever has an interest in kind of water,
right,
in general.
You have, because this is where the spotted frog thing comes up, the fish, the. A lot of environmentalists are there. It's a crowded room. Does anybody have any interest in this one?
Oh, and Don, Dennis, real quick, sorry to add, but remember, and there's the conversation of revitalizing this Deschutes Water Alliance, which would have a representative from every city. So that's kind of what I meant, is that if you're signing up for this, you're kind of, they don't meet that frequently, but you're kind of maybe the water representative from the city.
Yeah.
Can I ask where these events were held for this?
These are all, these have been held at the county building in Bend.
Bend.
Go for it.
I've worked on environmental projects before. I could add 2 cents.
Try it.
Yeah.
Right.
My name in there.
What's Okay, the first meeting's this Friday. I'll send you the information on it.
I think there's already something going on this Friday.
There is a lot going on.
I'll study you up on mitigation and water rights.
Okay, and anybody want to be the secondary on that one? No? No?
I'm sorry, it's like you're in the water board.
What about yourself, Mr. Mayor?
Okay.
I'm not. It's a big one to stay plugged in on.
Well, and if I'm available, I probably won't go to it anyways, because it's a very interesting one. Okay, so Craig is primary, I'm secondary.
Do you have a change?
Stu and I were discussing changing him as secondary on COCO to me as secondary on COCO.
And then I would be like a thirdary.
Is that a word?
It is now. If she couldn't make it, then I would.
Okay.
He would be the thirdary if I could make it.
Okay, yeah.
So if you, we'd like to make that change.
Okay. And that that could work out pretty good, Connie, because actually COCO has been talking, and I think that was mentioned at the managers' meeting, that COIC, they want more involved in water rates.
Well, and I'm starting to see more of that, just between, because I get...
Instead of just transportation all the time, it's, they're going to switch gears a little bit.
Right. And if I do want to be secondary on COAC, if I'm going to go secondary on...
Okay.
Do you want to switch those
sure.
two? We'll just switch those two. He's going to, I'm
okay.
secondary on COAC currently, so he'll change to be secondary.
Okay, so Stu will be up here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
You got all this stuff, Kelly?
He's got it.
And you said that anyway.
Yeah. Okay, the next one I just put in regional solutions, and that's basically all the, most of the elected officials or the mayors, county commissioners, and a variety of public people. I'd like to continue on that one. We don't even have a secondary person on that, so we probably should.
And I thought that was just everybody.
No, the board is made up of certain people.
So that one didn't even come up. The last two didn't even come up last year, so we didn't have anybody appointed.
Yeah, I've been going to them. I've just...
So are you on the board currently?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'll be the backup on the regional.
If no one
else. Since
yeah.
I just gave up one.
Well, you just traded
one,
actually.
Okay, I'd like to continue on that because all the other mayors are involved in it.
Right.
And their budgets got nixed big time, so there's not a lot of projects that they're getting money out for. Okay, so I'm on that, and Stu's secondary. Okay, I think that's it. Boy, this went a lot faster than I thought. It's only 10 after 7.
That's good.
Okay, public comments? Gary, you've been quiet lately. What's going on? Something's happened.
If you want a public comment, I'll make one.
No, that's okay. Okay.
We're just finishing up putting a brand new floor in the gym portion of the community center. That we obtained a generous grant, so no public money was involved, through our foundation, anonymous source, and it's got built into the tile and all this fancy stuff, instead of being concrete, is the lines for the pickleball courts, all built in.
Stop overseeing that.
And it's just going to be super easy to maintain and take care of, and it'll be a really beautiful thing. Looks like wood floor. So it's really nice, and a couple weeks combined to check it out.
Absolutely. Pickleballers will love it.
No, they will. It'll be safer, too, because we've had, for some of our fundraising events like that, we've had dancers and kind of thing. They're slipping on that concrete. This won't happen anymore.
Cool. Okay. Awesome. Any other comments out there? Nothing? Sad comments? Start with Corey?
Yeah. I'm actually reflecting on my calendar from the last couple of weeks and trying to see what brain cells are still intact, that haven't been saturated with things that are going on. So obviously the Sustainable City Year kickoff event is this Friday. The formal reception is from 11 to 12:30. If you could show up a little early, that'd be great. I did get a message, I believe almost the majority of the Oak Ridge City Council will be there early. They'd love to chat with all of you and learn a little bit about the program and, you know, small city, what's going on. And they're curious about the program. We'll be setting up and public will be showing up. And then afterwards, if whoever of you are available, there's a kind of citizen engagement, engaged journalism class. You should have received an email yesterday. Seeing if you could attend for that hour from about, or 45 minutes from about 1 to 1:45. So we're gonna have four classes here. U of O's bringing over about 50 people, all told, faculty, Sustainable City Year folks, students. It's gonna be really exciting. The last things that staff's been working on is just making sure kind of the site visits that they conduct after the reception that we have, you know, who's with who and who's doing what and all that kind of stuff. But that's going to kick off, and it's going to be pretty fast and furious for the next 10 weeks of them working on their projects. So expect updates, and we scheduled a meeting with the Urban Renewal Board to check in with that class on those specific projects, and you'll get other updates along the way. So we'll spend a lot of time on that.
Do we have an agenda?
Sorry. Yeah.
For that day?
Yeah, we do.
Because it seems like that we're senior center and then we're back here, or we're...
Actually, we're going to use the senior center as home base for basically all day, because actually, other than going out to the industrial park or going to Wickiup Junction, this term, the way it played out, most of the projects that they're working on are actually within walking distance, you know, within half a mile of the senior center, so it's a good centrally located area. I'll send you the agenda. We'll send out the agenda, the updated version. There's been some tinkering even in the last couple days on the site visit and stuff after the reception. We'll send that out tomorrow morning, first thing to everybody. So yeah, senior center, show up a little early, but the formal reception will kick off at 11. Been working on and met with almost all of you, hoping to still connect with Stu at some point, in the, you know, early next week maybe, to talk about the goal setting session. That's Friday the 19th, starting at noon at the Crescent Creek Clubhouse. That morning is the joint chamber breakfast, and that's the one up at the Thousand Trails Ranch, Sun River Lapine Joint Chamber Breakfast. We've been working on that community survey that we sent out. That's the kind of a grant through COIC. Some outreach dollars, and then ultimately some technical assistance, hopefully to be used on the Transit City Center property. So it's a real good kind of 1-2 on that. And the tentative launch date of that survey is the 19th, with, I think, Ann was on the steering committee for helping to develop the survey questions and refine that. And she's planning to announce it. It'll probably be open for about a month. Good news, sorry to jump back to Sustainable City Year, but we did get confirmation that a landscape architecture studio design class is going to be looking at downtown and specifically the Transit Center. So there could be a really cool opportunity in the spring to take some of the input that we get from the community survey, talk together with us and kind of come up with some of those priorities, hand it to U of O students, they'll come up with renderings and boards and visuals of what that could look like. And then by the early part of summer, we could be transitioning into actual site plan development. So that could all feed together really well.
While we're on
go ahead, please.
City, yeah. We talked about gifts for other cities visiting.
That's a good question. Yeah.
So I just wondered where we went with that, or if we decided.
Staff didn't make any decisions on that. We haven't purchased anything. Is that something that council would like us to try to come up with as something for the Oak Ridge City Council who's coming to visit?
Other cities that are visiting.
I know you mentioned that last meeting, Stu. Yeah. I think that you said they gave us something.
They gave us coats.
Coats?
Coats.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, leather coats.
Maybe we can pursue, maybe the gift giving can come after the event.
Okay.
I'm just thinking in the sense that it'd be tough to come up with something the next, you know,
I'll be able to go over a stocking cap or something.
Oh, hey, stocking
cap.
How many of them is there, you know?
Four are coming.
Well, we have sisters too, though. I mean, that would be kind of rude to give Oak or something and not give sisters something.
I don't know who's coming from sisters.
Oh, they haven't come from. I thought you said that.
I think it might have been their staff. I think it might have been staff.
Oh, okay.
Not elected.
Oh, okay.
I don't have to verify that. Maybe it makes sense.
I don't know when they get coats out, but when I visited cities, you usually get a bag of
stuff,
like lapine stuff. Like a, people around here don't know what a toque is, your stocking hat. I've had this conversation. They said, "What's a toque?" I said, "We're giving out toques."
What are you talking about?
Toque. It's just a French and they use it in the East, I guess.
So what about if we try to put together little kind of, you know, thank you / gift bags?
Something.
Maybe we go to the chamber and take a lap through there and see if we can get some of the
things. You know, the map of the city and the, you know, the stocking hat and, you know, even the shine on the pine something. Pin? Pin?
Yeah, we put pins in there and,
you know, I mean.
We always get a little bag of hot
stuff. Some things that I don't know if the city bought or somebody bought for the 10th anniversary of the city being incorporated. There was something that we gave out.
I know over there they've got like glass
glasses
that have the city
logo
sketched in the glass, something like that would be really nice.
I just think that it's something that they, other cities reciprocate to us when we go visit them, so we should do something.
We can't do that. But there is, I know of a gift store that is really putting that stuff together and they've done it before.
Okay, we can see what we can whip up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. In advance of Friday.
I know it's quick,
I didn't mean to put it
off,
but I just didn't. I didn't know. I didn't feel comfortable. Taking the lead on deciding on what goes in. I'm bad enough getting gifts. Ask my girlfriend. We just had Christmas. I'm like, I can't.
Holly, this will be your agenda item next time.
Let's make a trip to the dollar store tomorrow.
We'll work on it. We've got your direction to, within a reasonable amount of money, come up with.
Okay, yeah, Susie's contact.
Okay, Holly, we will triangulate. Okay, thank you.
I think so. I mean, it's totally up to the council.
I mean, that's a normal thing you do.
Right.
You know, you're advertising your city is what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And we can save the thank yous for Sustainable City Year at the end. You know, if we're going to give them maybe some lapine stuff, or if we wanted to. But that can be at the end. So we're just focused on the
end of the project.
Right.
That's true, too. So we're focused on the Oak Ridge elected officials that are coming to this. Thank you. I just wanted to say. Okay.
Okay, you're in the middle of staff conference.
Sorry.
No, it's good. No, I'm glad. Thank you. That's we're making stuff happen. I won't get too bogged down. Thinking ahead a little bit on the 24th, Jeremy will be down for an executive session. We met this morning with BioGreen. So the services agreement that has, you know, I probably haven't mentioned that for at least a couple months. There's been drafts going back and forth. Had a very productive meeting this morning. So I expect that you'll get it in advance, and Jerry will be here, myself, Ryan, etc., to talk through that. What else did I have on my notes here? I think that's it for now. I'll stay in touch regarding the goal session, expecting to get some materials out to everyone by the end of the week. Holly and I are working together on putting some stuff together, one which includes a list of accomplishments and or things that we've started, you know, projects, city hall changes, staff changes, et cetera, that we did in 2017. And in retrospect, the list is, you know, not
pretty
to toot our own horn, but it's pretty impressive. We've been busy. It was a busy 2017. And so we'll share that with all of you as well. And that's all I got.
Okay, thanks. Let's go with Melissa. She's got to add her here.
I have nothing.
Nothing else. Shoot. Just about to have you here. Okay? What do you got to say?
You guys heard what we've been working on so far. So, this telemetry and the low income assistance program is something we've been looking at pretty hard the last while. Low income the last few weeks and telemetry the last 6 months.
And we're saving a lot of money in snow plowing this year.
I could have pulled it from the snowplow budget. I didn't think about that.
Except that.
Might have got in trouble though.
Except that magnesium chloride on schedule is kind of rugged. We're gonna rethink that. Okay. Neil? Holly?
No.
And I got carried away tonight. And our student representative down here hasn't been able to say anything. I'm sorry.
You're fine. I haven't had anything to say. The only thing is that the Friday, the Sustainable City, I have a big wrestling tournament that same day, that's all day, and on the Saturday, so I won't be able to be in attendance on that. But other than that, nothing to report.
Okay. Let's go on to council comments. Who wants to start? Connie?
Sure. CYC canceled their January meeting, so we actually didn't have one, so I have nothing to update on that. But I kind of mentioned that I went around with Jake and saw the public works and just equipment and sites and all of that. And really, I really appreciate Jake. He's very forward-thinking, you know, taking care of the equipment. I just really appreciate how he jumps in the ditches with the guys and is not willing not to do something that he's asking his employees to do, and the way that he's proactive with maintenance and everything.
There's a lot more to it than
people
think.
Oh yeah, and just back to even the telemetry equipment, you know, knowing that it's a proactive move, and I think that that's always a better position to be in as a city than a reactive, you know, what's going to happen next, staying on top of things. So thanks again for the tour.
Thank you.
Jay Stu, any comments?
Just to reiterate what was discussed earlier with the SLED group, things are happening. There's plenty of inquiries. I think the city's taking the right steps through council recommendations to get the city ready for prospective businesses. And again, working with ODOT on our speed reduction to make the city safer. I think we're showing that Lapine is a welcoming open door policy for new people. And like the sign says, it's a bright future. So I think we just need to stay the course. And 2018, I think, is going to be the year. At our meeting, there was talk of expansion of a business in Sun River coming down to Lapine. So, you know, the two communities are working together, you know. So, and now with the door opening to Gilcrest, so there's a lot of exciting things happening. So I just want to thank the council for their hard work and look forward to 2018. Thank you.
Okay, Craig.
It's been an interesting evening. I'm really pleased to hear that we have somebody interested in the industrial area. That's going to be a big plus. It's going to take maybe a little guts to jump into it. I'm glad to see that happening. It's going to be very positive for Lapine.
Okay, Don.
Absolutely nothing.
Okay. I just have a couple things. I went to the COCO meeting, and before the COCO meeting, we have a water subcommittee meeting of like four mayors. I think one city manager, maybe. But in the next year, you're going to hear water. Mitigation rights. The 26, four of us are going over to Salem to meet with Blyden. What's his title?
He's the director of Oregon Water Resources.
Okay. He's a head honcho, you know, because right now Lapine would be hurting if we had to pick up some some mitigation credits, and the other cities are in the same boat. So just in the next year, through COICs, through COCO, you're going to hear a lot about water. It's a big issue in Central Oregon. I just wanted to say, we go on to these big projects and all of a sudden we don't hear anymore. Talked to Housing Works the other day, and they're going to claim they're going to start the affordable housing project in February if they can. So that's good news.
Yeah, they've already chosen a contractor.
Yeah, that's good. Other than that, I'm looking forward to 2018. We got a lot of stuff going on.
I think we're going to see a lot of residential stuff happening this year. I've seen the medium house sale in Bend is 406 right now.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a busy year for residential.
Well, we've got a lot of under construction right now.
Yeah.
Based on our preliminary conversations with developers, it would not surprise me if Lapine, inside the city limits, if we hit 50 new single family homes. That depends on a lot of factors, but in terms of developers that are currently building and what they expect to do over the next 12 months, wouldn't be surprised.
Yep.
That's, yeah.
So we're glad Maris was on board here.
Yeah, we'll be busy.
Okay, if nobody has anything else to say, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Aye. Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Meeting adjourned.
Thank you, guys.
Awesome.
Thanks.
You didn't call for a vote.
I can't remember. I see, but they had to.
Call for a vote.
We were supposed to stay here then.
Yeah, I really was.
Take a nap, Don. I'll be back.
It is, yeah.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank you.